With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4 times gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
He's the reason everybody is Locked On Wizards. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Standing.
I have been meaning to break out the Ralph Wesley intro. Good time to do it today as we are wrapping up our mega look at the Wizards entering free agency. Many thanks to Ralph for doing that again. And also many thanks to the voices you're about to hear from. I reached out to a bunch of different folks who are Wizards writers, thinkers, fans, and so on. People who have been on the podcast, some you have not heard from, at least not on this platform. And I wanted to ask them a simple question. What do you see as the most interesting part for the Wizards as they enter free agency, other than telling them, you know, keep it in the 2-minute range, do whatever you got to do? And enough folks sent back their thoughts, and I'm going to play them for you right now. Well, I lie. In a second, I'll play for them. After I remind you that, hey, I did in sort of the first two parts of this free agent trilogy, I guess, Mr. Kyle Weida and I, the original plan was Kyle and I were going to talk for about 20 minutes leading into this. Shocker, we went for over an hour because that's what we do, because the conversation gets interesting, and I thought we had a lot of good stuff to discuss. Two parts are up. First one, I guess I would say, was more sort of the Otto Porter situation, the future of John Wall. Talked a little bit about the constant talk of Paul George and what's fair or not about that conversation. In part two, we got a little bit more into specifics with free agents that the Wizards could target. I gave you guys my kind of basic plan, at least at the top here, what the Wizards, I think, could do that would make this team look a little interesting. And then we also got into the idea of everybody wants to just put talent on a team and figure it out. And I tried to point out that, hey, you look what Golden State's doing. It's not that they have 4 great players. They have 4 great players who, because of how they all play, can all go 100%. They don't have to sort of cater to everybody else around them. They can do what they do because the fit works. And then, you know, compare that to what's going on in Houston. Daryl Morey, very good at getting assets. Not always good, in my opinion, at turning those assets into pieces that are good fits. We'll see what happens here with James Harden and Chris Paul. But we got into some of that and a whole bunch more. But here we go on this third and final piece of the free agent puzzle. As I said, I asked a bunch of friends to share their thoughts on what the Wizards need to do in free agency. And the only thought I will share with you guys before I get into that is just simply to say, you know the deal. Please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere else to do your podcasting so you don't miss any episode of the podcast. Can't really begin to tell you how much I really appreciate you guys, especially now that we're into the offseason. I mean, obviously, the NBA draft and free agency is a lot of fun, but nonetheless, you're sticking with us into the offseason, and I definitely appreciate that. And, you know, I tried guilting Kyle into going out to Las Vegas for the Summer League in the last episode. Don't know if that's going to work, but if any of you guys are going out to Vegas, you should definitely let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter at Ben Standing or at Locked On Wizards. If you are, you know, no promises yet. I need to figure some things out, but, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to have some sort of a meetup or if nothing else while at the Summer League. Hopefully, you know, can do something like that there. All right, fun one here. I'm excited to have you guys hear this. Along with the clips of people sharing their thoughts, I intercut, I don't know what the right term is. I put in some sound from various Wizards and other things from the course of the season and elsewhere. So hopefully you guys will like that as well. Here we go. What is the most interesting part? What is the key to the Wizards entering free agency? Thoughts from a lot of different folks, friends of the podcast, right now.
This is Adam Grassi on the Locked On Wizards podcast to talk about some of the things that I'd like to see Washington do during free agency. The first thing I'd like to see the Wizards do is somehow find a way to move Gortat. When the Wizards re-signed him in 2014 to his 5-year, $60 million contract, I knew eventually he was going to come back to bite them. He may average a double-double, but he's 7 feet tall, he stands underneath the basket. You better expect that he's going to get at least 10 rebounds. He and John Wall just don't work well together anymore. They did at the beginning, but now it's just not working. If they're unable to move Gortat, I'd like to see them somehow find a way to move Mahimi, because one of those guys, either Gortat or Mahimi, one of them, their contracts, needs to get off the books. Also, I think we all agree that eventually Otto Porter is going to be back with Washington on a max deal. But before that happens, I'd like to see Washington take one final push at trying to trade for Paul George. I know that it may be for 1 year, but he and John Wall have a very good relationship. So maybe that 1 year can transition into a long-term deal with Washington. Also, I wish Washington would be in the Gordon Hayward conversation. Gordon Hayward and Otto Porter play the same position. Why not try to put your hat in the ring for Gordon Hayward instead of just settling with Otto Porter? Now, aside from the starters and some of the big-name free agents, the obvious place that the Wizards need to upgrade is the bench. Washington had a bench last season that was pretty much non-existent, and in most people's minds, were the reason that Washington lost to Boston in the playoffs. One name I'd like to see Washington go after is Zach Randolph. He's been a starter in this league for years, but this past season came off the bench in Memphis, so coming off the bench in Washington wouldn't be something that's new to him. Another guy that I'd like to see Washington go after is the Raptors power forward, Patrick Patterson. He's 28 years old, he's still in his prime, and he'd give you good energy off the bench. And lastly, you have the question, what should the Wizards do with Bojan Bogdanović? When he got traded to Washington, he made an immediate impact coming off the bench, but towards the end of the regular season, it was like he was non-existent. Whenever he was on the court, he just seemed to be some type of decoy standing in the corner. Now, if Scott Brooks has a plan to use Bogdanović the way that he used him at the beginning of his time in Washington when he got traded here, I would say he's definitely worth the money and worth bringing back to this team. However, if they don't have a plan for him, and he's just going to be a decoy, he's absolutely not worth the money, and Washington should just move on from him. I'm Adam Gracia from the Chris Mannix Show on the Locked On Wizards podcast.
I mean, I just try to stay positive at all times, man.
What's going on, Ben? It's Tim Murray from SB Nation Radio. Of course, you might remember me from ESPN 980 in D.C. Occasionally, I pop on every once in a while. So I've been thinking about this. I know you're asking a whole lot of people what the Wizards need to do this offseason, and I'm not crazy. Obviously, John Wall is all in on it as well, and hopefully this doesn't become dated. I know Boston, to steal a phrase from Seinfeld, is hot and heavy when it comes to Paul George. But John Wall wants Paul George. You want Paul George. I want Paul George. But everyone, I guess not everyone, but a lot of people say, why go after Paul George if he's only going to be here for 1 year? And I understand that rationale. Why trade an asset like Otto Porter, or not re-sign an asset like Otto Porter? Whatever it takes to get Paul George, why give it up for just 1 year? Look at it the way I'm looking at it. What is the ceiling of this franchise moving forward? Is this the best chance the Wizards have to get through that ceiling that is the Eastern Conference? Could they beat the Warriors with Paul George, John Wall, Bradley Beal, etc.? I don't think so. However, could they beat LeBron James and the Cavaliers? Maybe. This is a team, remember, I know it was the regular season, but this is a team that played them as good as anyone did in the regular season. Went to Cleveland late in the season in a game that I understand Cavaliers didn't really care about the regular season, but ran them off the floor. This is an organization, or a backcourt, I should say, of Wall and Beal that don't seem to be afraid of big, bad LeBron. I love LeBron James. He's the best player in the NBA. He is going to be a year older. Maybe you get a nicked-up Cavaliers squad. Maybe they get Carmelo and Dwayne Wade, and who knows? But for me, you go all in on Paul George, even if it is for just 1 year. I'm okay trading away, and I know it is not advantageous anymore for players to do the whole sign and trade ordeal. But, hey, we're living in a world of hypotheticals when it comes to the NBA offseason. Go all in for Paul George, whatever it takes. Because remember this, if Paul George comes to Washington, he doesn't go where? To Boston, a team that the Wizards are going up against. So even if it's for 1 year, I'm going all in for Paul George. As for who the Wizards could get in the free agent market, well, since the Paul George thing doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense, hey, why not go after the guy that killed you in Game 7? Hey, Kelly Olynyk will probably be gone. If Paul George goes to Boston, they'll need to open up some cap space because we know they want Gordon Hayward as well. Why not bring in Kelly Olynyk? If you can't beat him, make him a Wizard. Why not, right?
Well, I think there's something to that.
John Corral is here from the Locked On Celtics podcast. Looking at the Wizards' perspective from the Boston side of things, look, I don't know what you Wizards guys are going to do because I think your team is pretty stuck. You don't have a ton of cap space like Boston does. You don't have a ton of high draft picks like Boston does. And we look at these two teams that were so evenly matched. They played the best series of last postseason. Could have gone either way. This is the offseason where I think Boston separates itself from Washington. What moves can Washington make? You've got Otto Porter, who is going to be highly coveted after having one really good year. You're going to pay him after having a good contract year. You really have no choice because the promise of what Porter can do is better than any other free agent you're going to go and get. You're not going to go get Gordon Hayward. You're not going to go get Blake Griffin unless you start packaging something in a trade. And I don't see what assets Washington can package in a trade that beats whatever Boston can package in the trade. So I think you just got to roll the dice with Otto Porter and with Bogdanovich, and hopefully you can maybe swing something to shore up that bench. The starting five is good. That bench is bad. You got to figure out a way to maybe lure somebody there at the mid-level or some veteran minimum and get somebody who might like what Washington is doing. But I personally see Washington staying good but not making the leap too great. So it's a tough offseason for Washington. Good team, but I think you guys are stuck.
What's up, everybody? I'm Noah Getzel from Wizards Extra. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast today, Ben. I'm a huge fan of Locked On Wizards. Let's get right into it. The most interesting aspect of Wizards free agency for me is how John Wall's recruiting pitch to Paul George might affect Wall's relationship with Otto Porter if Porter stays in D.C. So first things first, just want to reiterate something Ben has mentioned. Wall can't simply convince Paul George to join the Wizards. George isn't a free agent, so the Wizards would have to trade for him. Having said that, here's what Wall said Monday about PG and Otto. Wall said, "Our three-man did great for us. You can't take nothing away from what he did, but George is a guy that can guard LeBron and go back at LeBron. It's a piece you're going to need to win, and if you don't have a guy who can do that, you don't have a chance." This concerns me a little bit because there's a good chance that PG won't be traded to the Wizards, but Porter will resign, so it makes for a bit of an awkward situation in training camp if it rolls around and Wall and Porter are still teammates, because Wall clearly wants Paul George on the team more. I just worry that Porter might not really want to be on the Wizards anymore if the leader of the team said he'd prefer playing with some other small forward. For example, imagine I've a girlfriend, and my girlfriend tells me, "Noah, you've been great, but Ryan Gosling wants out of his current relationship, and I really want to be with him. Nothing against you, but he's an established superstar, and he's way hotter than you." So I wouldn't be too thrilled about this. I'd let her move on, be like, "All right, you go ahead, chase Ryan Gosling, I'm done with you." And I can't help but feel that Porter kind of feels the same way right now, too. Last but not least, a realistic free agency target for the Wizards would be Jonathan Simmons from San Antonio. Former D-League swingman, is a really hard worker and plays incredible defense, so I think he'd really bolster the second unit. He is on the Spurs right now, so who knows if he could produce at a similar level playing under a different system. Well, that's all I got. I'm Noah Getzel, Wizards Extra beat reporter. Check out Wizards Extra on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WizardsXTRA or WizardsExtra.com. Thanks for giving me this opportunity, Ben. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's Luke Neer here from WINA and ESPN Radio out of Charlottesville. Examining Washington for this upcoming free agency period, despite how much fans yearn for immediate splashes and moves, if I'm the Wizards front office, my goal is to clear the cap. Naturally, that draws us to the albatross of a contract that Jan Mahimny currently holds. 4 years, $64 million. Woof. We can also look at Marcin Gortat as a player who would be valuable to move. If Washington is planning to max out Otto Porter, gain depth, and add another superstar in the future, as John Wall has been pushing for recently, they need to free up some space. You can't just wave a wand and make a superstar come without the contracts and the numbers working out. How do you accomplish this? Well, the realistic method would be to attach an asset with one of those contracts and ship it off to a team who has lots of cap room and is looking to find an asset or a rookie contract as compensation for taking on an albatross. Candidates to deal with would be teams with room, such as Sacramento, Orlando, or Brooklyn. Brooklyn just made a deal in that same vein with the Lakers, gaining D'Angelo Russell while taking on the Mozgov contract. So hypothetically, the Wizards could take Mahimny and pair him with an asset, say Kelly Oubre, and hope a team bites, or see if anyone is crazy enough to take Marcin Gortat straight up in exchange for something. Looking at you, Chicago. Too soon? Anyways, this would put you in a position to actually make a real needle-moving move in 2018 or 2019 instead of duct-taping holes in the bottom of a boat. Keep Porter, play him crazy minutes in hopes of further development, work on the core chemistry, and try to clear space to get somebody in the Millsap mold, say, for future free agencies. Not really sexy, but necessary for the Wizards this summer.
I don't want to jinx myself, you know, but my wife tells me all the time I got big nuts, so, you know.
Hi, this is Jason Patton from FanRag Sports. I'm here to talk about the Wizards offseason for the Lockdown Wizards podcast. And I think the most interesting thing looking at the Wizards as they enter this free agency period, just how they take the next step to being a team that could reach the Eastern Conference Finals and potentially challenge the Cleveland Cavaliers. They came one game shy of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. A lot of people think that they possibly should have won, but the team has some clear flaws. Their bench was a big problem last year, and they don't have that much flexibility to upgrade their roster. They have a lot of money invested in the current team, so they can't really do that much unless they make some big moves. Can they trade off a guy like Jan Mahimny, or will they trade off Marcin Gortat to express some displeasure with the team after the year? I know John Wall has talked about trying to make a run at Paul George, but that seems like a big long shot, given they don't have that many assets to make that big upgrade. So I think they might have to rely on some internal development. I'm assuming that Otto Porter will be back almost no matter what kind of contract he gets as a restricted free agent. If they're going to have to bring him back at a max contract, again, that will add to that salary, that big salary. And they'll just need some internal development, and they'll have to make smart additions around the fringes to help bolster that bench that was so bad. They did make that Tim Frazier trade before the draft to add some point guard depth. They have Kelly Oubre still to hopefully develops. And then they'll have smaller ways to get better in free agency if they don't make a big trade to shed some salary and open up some more salary cap space. And one guy I feel like that could be interesting for the Wizards is Justin Holiday. He played for the Knicks last year. He was part of the Derrick Rose trade from the Bulls. And he's a solid, I believe he's 27, 28 years old, pretty athletic. He's not a great three-point shooter, but he's a solid three-point shooter. And the Wizards could definitely use some three-point shooting off their benches, especially if Bojan Bogdanovic is not back. And I do not think he will be because of the contract he'll get. So I think the Wizards should be looking at those kind of wing, 3-and-D type wing players to help that bench, because even though Bogdanovic was a good shooter last year, his defense is really poor. So it'd be nice if they could find, using maybe the mid-level exception, to find a 3-and-D type shooter like that. And I think Justin Holiday could be a solid piece like that. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Wizards go about their offseason, how they try to take that next step. I said, my name is Jason Pat. My Twitter is Bulls_J, and I'm here to help out the Lockdown Wizards podcast, and it should be fun to see how the offseason goes.
At the end of the day, I look like I'm a good GM there, which I don't want to be because I suck. I don't want to be that.
What's up, everybody? It's Talib Bab here on the Locked On Wizards podcast. Thanks to Ben Standing for having me on. The big factor for me in the Wizards offseason is how they set themselves up for 2018. I know this sounds crazy. I know this is what burnt them last year with trying to hold out and do everything they can for Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant just ends up saying, kiss it and going to the Golden State Warriors without even giving the Wizards a meeting. But I think you need to look ahead to 2018, where you got some big free agents coming out in that class. And most importantly, the name that's catching my eye is DeMarcus Cousins, former teammate and bully with John Wall, UK. I think you got to set it up for that. I think you got to somehow shift or get Marcin Gortat out of there. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how much of an asset he could be to another team. I don't know how many teams would be looking to move an asset for him. But I think you get whatever price you can for Marcin Gortat, clear him out. And I think you try to hold on to Otto Porter and be as stingy as you can be with it if you're in the front office of the Wizards. I just don't think you can mess around with the way super teams are being built and organized in this league. You gotta go hard or go home. You gotta try to make John Wall happy as he possibly can be. And I think bringing in Boogie would do that. Now, would it work out if they were to get him? I don't know. Let's look at that down the line if they were to get him. But you know, you go all in for Kevin Durant, and it's a big disappointment. But what happens? You're one game away. You end the season one game away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals without really adding any major pieces to your team, and you know, losing what was supposed to be the biggest free agent acquisition ever. So, you know, I think you make a run at it next year with DeMarcus Cousins, and you see what happens. I think there's no shame in trying and selling your soul to fight for a ring, you know? Let's see what happens. I'm Talib Babb. Follow me on Twitter at TalibBabb. It's a lot of B's. And thanks again to Ben Standick for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, all. This is Nick Belka from Bullets Forever. I'd like to talk about why I don't think the Wizards will or can trade Marcin Gortat this offseason. The Wizards obviously have sort of a logjam in terms of salaries at center. Mahimi and Gortat can't play together, and they make about $29 million combined. The obvious one to get rid of is Gortat because he has the lower salary as well as more proven durability, particularly last year. Gortat seemed unsatisfied at the end of the year, and so I could see a lot of people, and I think Ben included, thought that many be traded. However, I don't think the Wizards can really rely on Mahinmi and perhaps a minimum guy or Daniel Ochefu to man the center for them this year full-time. Mahinmi was injured 3 times last year. He injured his meniscus before the season, came back for a game, injured it again, had to go through platelet-rich plasma therapy, came back, looked decent, played 33 games, and then promptly re-injured himself, this time having a calf strain that kept him out of the first series of the playoffs. And when he came back against Boston, he just didn't look like himself. While he's a talented defensive player, he tends to get in foul trouble. You combine this with his durability and you wonder, are the Wizards going to be able to rely on him as a full-time center with a minimum player or Jason Smith or Ochefu as backups? I don't think they're willing to do that. And well, if he shows that durability, perhaps they can move Gortat by the All-Star break to get out of potential tax problems. For right now, I think they're going to have to roll with Mahinmi and Gortat. You remember a couple years ago, Gortat got injured. He had an injury in the season, and then he had an illness in the family where he had to leave. Well, the Wizards didn't have much in the way of backups because Nene was injured. They were forced to go with signing him a minimum guy, in that case Ryan Hollins, and going with DeJuan Blair and Drew Gooden. That's not the path I think the Wizards should go on again if they want to win 50 games and once again be in the top contenders in the East.
Hey, this is Sean Woodley, and I'm the host of Locked On Raptors, here talking about the Wizards offseason. The Wizards are a team that scare me as a Raptors fan and as someone who follows the Eastern Conference pretty closely. Like, the Wizards are not that far away from being, you know, the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. I think for a time this season, you could argue that they were, but their downfall was their bench, and that's kind of where I think this offseason needs to go for them. I think Otto Porter is a no-brainer. I think if you wait for a team to throw an offer sheet at him, you match it no matter what. I think if you try to beat the rush and just sign him to a deal and give him a max anyway, I think that's also pretty smart as well. Otto Porter's really good. He's a perfect fit in the modern NBA. He's a big guy. He can play the 3 and the 4, and he can shoot threes. That's pretty much all you want in a modern wingman at this point in the NBA. So I think you keep him for sure. But the real task for the Wizards is going to be trying to fill out the bench. They've already gotten Tim Frazier in a trade with the Pelicans, and that was a good little pickup for them. I'm still not sold on Tim Frazier for sure being the backup point guard of the future for the Wizards, but he's a start, and he's better than what they had last year. I think it's all about trying to fill in that depth for the Wizards right now, and if there's a guy out on there in the market who could really sort of provide a bit of a boost, that's a guy who, you know, in Toronto was really excellent for the Raptors off the bench last year after being traded, and that's PJ Tucker. Tucker's going to be an interesting case. If the Wizards are in the tax, maybe their taxpayer mid-level doesn't quite get it done. Tucker's going to be a guy, I think, who kind of gets in the range of $8 to $12 million, but he's a guy who was fantastic playing the four last year. He showed that he could rebound for that position really well. I think he'd be wonderful off the bench to either play as a three or as a four, no matter what the Wizards want to run out there. They want to go small. Tucker can fit into that perfectly, and he was just a fantastic defender for the Raptors last year as well. He can kind of guard everybody. He, you know, did a pretty good job on bigger guys. He did a great job on smaller guys as well. There were moments in the regular season where he guarded the hell out of Isaiah Thomas, which is not easy to do, but he had a fantastic game or two against him late down the stretch after the Raptors picked him up. I think PJ Tucker would be a perfect piece for the Wizards to go after if they can get under the tax, offering the mid-level exception about $8 million, that might be able to get it done. If they're in the tax, that's going to get trickier, and maybe they got to try to move off some money, try to offload Jan Mahimi or something like that. That's not going to be easy to do because the Raptors are dealing with this problem too. Offloading centers is not easy whatsoever, and when you have a guy like Jonas Valanciunas or Jan Mahimi or Timo Mozgov, you have to give up stuff in order to offload those guys, and the Wizards aren't really flush with lots of extra assets they can offload. I'd be curious to see if they can get to the range where they can have their mid-level exception and bring in PJ Tucker, but if they can, that is a guy I would love to see on the Wizards, if of course he's not back with the Raptors.
And Larry Hughes used to tease me all the time when we were playing here together. He's like, you wear suits that are too old.
It's Jake Whitaker of bulletsforever.com. The most interesting thing about this offseason to me is what do the Wizards do to improve their shooting on the bench? We saw last season, at the end of the year especially, Washington really didn't have a good backup option behind Bradley Beal. So what we saw a lot when Beal would come out of games is, Wall would play with Brandon Jennings, and, as bad as that pairing was, it was better than, Wall and Satoransky, or Wall and Burke, or Wall and Sheldon Mack. So I think this summer the big thing you got to do is figure out someone who can competently play that backup shooting guard role and give you some spacing, especially now that the Wizards have Tim Frazier, who is a lot like Brandon Jennings and Tomas Satoransky. Good playmakers, can't shoot a lot. So if you can get somebody to spread the floor, especially coming off the bench, that helps things. So whether that's retaining Bogdanović and then sliding Oubre up to the two, or letting Bogdanović walk and signing a different shooter, I think that's the way you have to go. Ben has mentioned Jody Meeks before. I think he would be a good fit. Ben McLemore seems like a guy that the Wizards would be interested in. He has that kind of lottery pedigree, but could be available for less than a lot of teams might have expected. So I think he'd be an interesting fit. And, if the market doesn't shake out right, maybe CJ Miles is a fit. I think he probably gets more than the mid-level. But if not, I think he would be an outstanding fit off the bench for the Wizards. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. And, hopefully we get a shooter.
Great. Perfecto.
Great perfecto, says John Wall. He may have been talking about his own physical condition. I'd like to think he was forecasting this particular episode of the Locked On Wizards podcast. That was a lot of fun to put together, to hear what everybody had to say, to find these random clips, and most of all, just to have the people involved who took their time to be part of this. A lot of these people have been on the podcast, or I've talked to on the side about it all. Been very cool, and I really, really appreciate all of their time. If you guys have listened to this as well as the two-parter with Kyle Wiedei, you guys have been you therefore have been overloaded with Wizard free agency talk. But hey, it's that time of year. Wizards are about to get at it along with the rest of the NBA, so We will see what unfolds, but for now, we're going to close up shop here on this particular edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Again, many thanks to all that participated. If I try to repeat all their names, I will inadvertently forget somebody and create a John Wall hates Bradley Beal type drama. So let's not do that, because they don't hate each other, and I don't hate these people. They're all my peeps. But anyway, we'll end it there. Thank you guys, of course. Ben Standick signing off. We'll be back presumably Monday. I guess if something breaks in the interim, then maybe it'll have to be a little bit sooner. But in any event, for now, Ben Standick signing off for the Locked On Wizards podcast. See ya.
Everybody just Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Walt Bryant, Walt Bryant shot. Dagger!